because a lot of people bring cards in and they forget to take cards home. So we end up with a whole bunch of cards we got to try to get to people. Well, we sell them. Not very much. Anyway, so if you check the box, not only bringing cards in, but if you check the box, you probably have cards to take home with you also. We have a lot of things going on this week. I don't think it's all girls, but the walking club, whoever that is, they have their club meeting again at 9 o'clock on Mondays. There's a board meeting Sunday night. Seems like a long time for a board meeting. I don't know why it seems so long since a board meeting, but if you're part of the board or a new member of the board, right? If they're a new member of the board, they come to that meeting. Yes, tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Ladies have their breakfast Tuesday at 8, and then prayer meeting at noon on Wednesday. And this will be a special prayer meeting, kind of, because we have a person having an operation that day that we'll want to hold her up in prayer, December 7th. A day that will live in infamy, right? You'll get better. You'll start getting rid of that shoulder pain. So anyway, I remember her. Tina. Then this Saturday is kind of special. This Saturday, the men's breakfast is not only going to be the men's breakfast, but it's going to be an all-congregation breakfast. Okay? It's going to be a pancake sausage-type breakfast. It's for everybody in the congregation and the guests, if you want to bring guests. It's by donation. But I want to let you know what these donations will go to. The men's group last year supported mission out in Arizona called the Gila Indian Community. It's a Psyllium Baptist Church. Now, I asked one time about the Baptist. The Baptist was there for years. It's a non-denominational church just like we are. They're run through the World Gospel Mission. Larry Lonis and I have been out there on a mission trip, did some construction work for them. So all the proceeds from this breakfast will go as a Christmas offering to that Indian reservation church out there. You might know the people. It's Debbie and Steve Cartwright. I think some of our people know Debbie and Steve. They're the missionaries out there. So that's where that funds, the missionary proceeds, will go from that breakfast. So for a good time, come on out Saturday morning. It starts at 8:30, and we'll have breakfast together, and then we'll have a little slideshow, too, I think, of the PowerPoint show of the Indian reservation out there. This time I'm going to do the Advent readings. Is that on the wall? Do we have those for the wall this time? Okay. And it'll be on the second candle, the candle of love. And again, we practice this tradition at Advent because we want to bring our hearts and our minds and our souls into a place where we're really reflecting on what this season is all about, that God came into flesh, that we could be saved, that we'd be reunited with him. I'll start. As the candle for hope and love are now lit, let us remember that Christmas is a time for love. There is love for our families, moms and dads, brothers and sisters and children. There is love for friends and the goodwill we share at this special season. There is a romantic love that causes the nervous young man to present an engagement ring to the girl he wants to marry. But outshining all these loves is the one that God has for us. And he wants us to love him in return. Altogether, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence said to them, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but of everlasting life. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another.
Isn't it good to be in God's house today?
Amen.
Amen. It's good to be with God's people. Would you stand with me? Let's sing.
And nature say, and heaven and nature.
mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness.
Sing that with me, would you?
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness.
Now that you have it, let's sing it one more time.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, great is thy
He is faithful, isn't he? And I was thinking this morning about the Christmas season. We're talking about love this morning. And all these football games going on. Do you find yourself watching them going, hit that guy, tackle him? And I'm thinking, that's the opposite of what love should be. You know, we should be rooting for the best team to win and for people not to get hurt. And for the people that don't win to not feel themselves as being losers, but they just didn't play as well that day. And I think our society is a lot in about winning and losing, isn't it? There's a lot about the winners and you're a loser, where in Christ, nobody's a loser. And our attitude needs to be that way in all these seasons, especially as Christmas comes about and these things, and we watch these things, and the blame game happens. You know, it was your fault, it was the coach's fault, it was the player's fault. And I was thinking when I was watching some of these games, these are just kids. You know, these are 18, 19, 20-some-year-old kids under this big stage of pressure. I've got to win. And when they lose, you know, it's a depressing thing for them. You know, we lost, we're terrible, how bad are we? And people, you know, get rid of them, fire this guy. And you're thinking, Jesus, it's just a game. It's not even what life's about. You know, but we make it so serious that that's a big rivalry. And whoever it is, you know, Michigan State and Fresno and State and Boise and whatever the games that I watched yesterday. Thinking, you know, these guys are doing the best they can and they're getting hurt. Playing this, maybe some are hurt for the rest of their life because they're playing this game. And we put so much importance on that, and we pay so much for people to be their coaches, you know, $8, $9, whatever million to play a game that we pay to watch. People hit each other, and I'm thinking, what, you know, what kind of thing is that? You know, and if you watch, they have MMA and all kinds of stuff, bare knuckle boxing and all these things they have, and you think, have we reverted back, you know, to the gladiators and the Coliseum and those kind of things where we're promoting those things and people are getting paid to hurt other people and punch them and things, and when it shouldn't be that way. You know, and you wonder why society has so many issues and so many problems. And then this time of the year, you know, brings us back to Christ and what he did for us and the love he has for us, and people out shopping and, you know, getting their specials and fighting over toys and all these things like that. And that's not what it's about, is it? It's about the gift that God gave us, not so much the gifts that we give everybody else. A lot of times we don't do extravagant gifts. You know, I've never bought my wife a car. You're not getting one this year either, sorry. It's not going to happen. We did buy our daughter a car once, Matchbox car. And, you know, so it's not always about the gift. It's about the love and compassion for each other and just being together a lot of times on Christmas, you know, spending time with family and praying for them that they know the Lord. That's the most important thing. No matter who wins or loses, Super Bowl or whatever it is, it doesn't matter, because years from now, nobody's going to care, you know. And the team that lost is not, especially not going to care. But we sometimes hold a grudge for those kind of things, don't we? Oh, I hate you. I hate this person. And that's not what God is telling us to do. So if we can't exhibit that, then what does the world expect? You know, what do they see when they see us? If we're yelling and screaming at other things and should just be, well, you know, congratulations on your win. You know, and he goes, we beat you, and or we won. And I'm like, well, none of us played. I've said that before. You know, nobody played in the game. We're just in the stands. We're just watching. But we should be praying that nobody gets hurt on that field. You know, I play soccer usually on Sundays in Granville. It's a fun time. We don't try to hurt each other. Sometimes you might fall and get hurt, but the thing is, you know, everybody has a good time, and we have fun, and one team wins this week, and one team wins that week, and it's not a big deal. Next week, you go and play again, and you just have fun. So it should just be a fun thing that we're doing. And maybe it's just me, but I'm thinking about this whole season with all these sports things should just be fun for these kids. I just had a great time. I had fun. You know, nobody was sending me hate mail because we didn't win. They just said, Al, you know, sorry you didn't make it, but maybe next time. And that's my mini sermon for the day. I didn't plan that. Just kind of came out. So went to have my van warming up this morning and looked underneath it, and there's a big pile of oil under there. I changed oil last night, but I didn't look. I think the other O-ring must have stuck from the filter. So my wife and I drove together today, which is fine. And well, because we leave at two different times, that's why. I leave early and she leaves later, and then when I stay longer and she leaves earlier. So not that there's any dispute, I don't think, between
we're
us.
Okay, guys.
Okay. Just making sure everything was fine there, you know. But prayer requests, we have prayer requests this morning. Tina's getting surgery on D-Day, December 7th. She said it's only like an hour and a half surgery, which I was amazed at, but that's good. I'm glad it's a short thing. But let's be praying for her for that day. You know, it can be, you get nervous. Even though you know God's with you, you kind of still get nervous. You know, what's going to happen? I haven't done this before. And we know God's going to be there taking care of that. And the Roshes are back from being sick. I think Linda was sick for a while there, too. So other people have been sick. Some people are sick of each other, but let's make that up on Christmas here. Any prayer requests? Kelly?
Just prayer for my daughter-in-law, Letizia. We're waiting for the insurance to get back so she can have an MRI. She has some, they thought it might have been a kidney stone, but we don't think it's that anymore, but she has a lot of things going on in that woman area. So just pray for her.
Yeah, Trish is back with us. You get that, Trish? You're back with us. Your back surgery.
That's it. I want to give a praise to God. I've been fighting this for a few years. In the last 2 years, it was kind of like either you take care of this or you're going to die, you know, due to weight and everything. So I've battled these last 2 years and did everything what everybody said and figured out that no, I'm not, you know, I don't have diabetes and I don't have all this. I've had the same thing that we've always had. I've had migraines and high blood pressure. Kind of knew it, but I did get my surgery, and I want to say that before they kind of left me in the lurch, and my migraine was coming up, so I was not really a nice person. And finally, the surgeon's next, I guess it's surgeon's assistant, came in, and she says, "I've heard you've had migraines all day long." I said, "Yes, ma'am, I'm known to have them." She hit me with something, and I was like, "Cool, I'm good. Let's get this done." Went down there into wait up to get done, and my surgeon, his last name is Zhu, X-U, so I don't know, he's Asian, I don't know which denominator, I don't know, but anyway, he looked at his surgeon assistant, and he asked me, he says, "Would you like to have a prayer?" And I said, "Yes, definitely," and he looked at his surgeon's assistant, and she prayed over us all, for his ability to take care of it, my ability to see, to heal, and for God's ability to be with the rest of the world. It was amazing. I woke up the next morning and I could literally feel my toes. That was amazing to me. But I also want to ask for an unspoken prayer or request for me to, there's things going on that have to be taken care of, and I just wish for a little bit of prayer. So I hope you all have a great Christmas season, and remember that Christ is the reason.
having cataract surgery Friday, and I had the first one that went fine, but for some reason I'm nervous about the second one. So pray that I settle down.
I just want to praise God today. I had my test on Monday, an answer to prayer that I'm still cancer-free. Praise God.
Couldn't see your hand.
Good morning, all. I would like to ask for prayer for Carol Watson. She hasn't been here for a while. She's got some health issues, but she has a procedure coming up this week where she has a pacemaker and the top of her heart is quivering and they want to shock her heart. And she's 76 and she's deathly scared to death. So if we could just pray for her this week. I've been with her every day, trying to keep her mind off of it. Just pray that nothing happens and she can just get it shocked and back into the rhythm and come back home. Thank you.
I just wanted to tell you, Lorna Kenyon is having a cataract surgery tomorrow. And it's on an eye that she's had some problems with. So keep her in prayer, please.
Since we're talking about all these eye issues, I have been getting eye injections for the last 2 years for a retina vein occlusion in my right eye. And the last time I went, which was about a month ago, they always give you the eye test to see how things are going. And I couldn't read the chart, and I'm like, okay, something's not working here. And the doctor came in and he says, well, your retina looks good. And I'm like, that's good, but why can't I read the chart? And he said, because now the injections that we have given you can cause cataracts. So now on Thursday, I have my cataract appointment. And he said, but we can fix a cataract. We can't fix, you know, we can't change the retina unless you continue with these treatments. And So I just am asking for prayer that the Lord does something special here with this retina thing, because I'm kind of tired of getting these injections every month. And so anyway, when I made the appointment for the retina specialist, that it's the floor above where I go for the retina, the nurse up there said, you know, we talk about this in the office and we all say, injections in your eye. And I said, well, let's not talk about it, okay? So, but you know what? That's one thing I didn't think 2 years ago that I could even start this. I didn't have the strength. And even still, there are times when I go into it and I say, okay, God, and I have to sit there before he's ready to give this medication in my eye injection. And I have to pray and I have to have praise songs going through my head, because otherwise I'm claustrophobic. And having this is just, it's just hard for me. So I'm sure there are others that have had injections in their eyes, and you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, I just praise the Lord that he can heal, and I'm just praying that he'll just take care of this retina situation so this doesn't have to get worse. So.
I just want to explain, this morning I came into church and people were milling around and talking and laughing, and God laid on my heart, what a wonderful family we have here. And I just praise him for each and every one of you. And when you don't make it to service, there's a void. And our hearts are missing you. And I'm just so glad that you could all come, and praise God for bringing us together.
Before I step down, I want to make sure. Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, thanks for bringing us here. allowing us to be here safe. Help us, Lord, to exhibit love, not just today in this Christmas season, but all through our life. Lord, as we change and become more like you, help us to show others that you are love. And Lord, all these different requests we have this morning, a lot of it for health, for our physical body, for our eyes and our shoulders, and for good reports, for tests coming up, for hearts being shocked, and all kinds of things that were happening, Lord, to our bodies. We know that our bodies are breaking down each day, but you give us strength, Lord, to be here as long as you want us to be here, and we pray for health as long as we're here. And we just thank you for we have a hope to look forward to, that we have heaven and reunion with those who love you. So we just pray as we go out this Christmas season, Lord, that we have a chance to share with our loved ones about you if they don't know you, and exhibit what Christ looks like in us. And be with these, Lord, who are having things coming up, surgeries and tests and all kinds of things, that are nervous. Lord, that's understandable, but give them a peace that passes all understanding. Lord, help those who are not feeling well. Help those who are depressed and those who are sad and those who are unsure of what's going to happen next. Lord, I pray you just meet their needs. Lord, those who are struggling financially or relationally, spiritually, that you'll be there for them. Be with us this morning, Lord, as we look at your word, as we hear the choir sing, and as we draw close towards you. Protect us, keep us safe. Be with those who don't know you, that they may have an opportunity to accept Christ this season, maybe even this day, in your name. Amen.
The alleluia of that evening of Christ's birth became global, universal. From a faraway land came the Magi, in worship and adoration. Creations by the Creator now given back to the Creator: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Together wonderful to me.
Well, it's almost at a point you don't want to say anything, do you? Just kind of want to sit here and be quiet with that message, you know. It's altogether worthy, altogether lovely. So I think we'll be dismissed today. Just kidding. Thought about it, but, you know. We're trying a different mic today to see if it sounds any better than the headpiece one, so we'll see how that works. Jeez, all these problems. How's that? That good? Okay. This is the second week of Advent, and Russ talked about it this morning a little bit, talked about love. We talked about hope last week. And if you look up Advent, there's different orders you can use. We haven't used this order before. This is going to be hope, love, joy, and peace. If you see it on the wall, that's the order we're going to do this week. It's about basically the proclamation of the coming of Christ. So you're talking about the different things that have happened and leading up to the expectation of his birth. So on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, we have both services this week. We'll do the Christ candle, which is the middle one. So we're going to do that two times because some people won't be here Christmas Eve and some people won't be here for Christmas morning. So we're going to do it twice, we talked about this morning. But we all have our idea about what love is, don't we? If you ask every person in here, you probably wouldn't get the exact same definition. They'll say it has something to do with being attracted to somebody. It's a feeling you get when somebody comes in the room and talks to you like, oh, they talked to me. Oh, they looked at me. You know, those kind of things. Sometimes make you kind of tongue-tied. You don't know what, you know, what to say or say the right thing. Sometimes it's a physical thing. But look around the internet, TV, printed materials that try to convince you that they know what love is, right? It's always like two people kissing, making out, or being intimate in some way. And they're all happy and smiles and everything until something goes wrong. And then that relationship ends. That love is just done all of a sudden. It's just finished. And one's disappointed and they just decide to walk away. So supposedly that love that burned for each other all of a sudden has disappeared overnight. And you wonder how can that happen? You know, if life gets hard, the marriage gets hard, relationships get hard, then people get out of it. Say, oh, this is just too hard for me. I didn't expect this. I'm out of this. But knowing what love is not, as I was looking this week, what love is not is a great way to discover what love is, right? So if you know what it isn't, then you can find out what it actually is. So I looked at some things by a lady called Luminita Savic. She says, these are going to help us realize what love is not. Love is not controlling. It doesn't try to fix, correct, or bully someone into thinking or doing what they should be or what they should do. So if you're trying to do that with somebody else, you're not really loving them. If you're trying to make them be something different. Sometimes we have the misconception that, oh, well, when we get married, they'll be different. Nope. They might even be worse. So if you're not happy with them before you get married to them, you may not be happy when you get married to them. Real love is not abusive. It doesn't seek to hurt the other person. Verbally, physically, mentally, whatever it is. If that's happening, that's not true love. Real love is not impatient, not demanding, and not intrusive. Real love is not judgmental. It doesn't condemn, it doesn't belittle, and it doesn't judge. That doesn't mean you can't say to somebody, you know, I think maybe you're heading in the wrong direction. Can I pray for you in this or something going on? But it means you're not saying, you know, it's you, your fault, you're terrible. Love is not aggressive, it's not pushy, and it's not violent. So if those things are happening, that's not what true love is. It's not transactional. It's not about making deals to get what you want. There's a lot of that kind of love happening, isn't it? Well, if you do this, I'll do this. And it's not vengeful. It doesn't keep score. It doesn't hold grudges. So when you get in the argument, you don't say, remember 3 years ago when you said that to me? If you said you forgave him, then that should be gone, right? Even if you think it in your head, let it go because it's already been dealt with. It's like us saying to God, remember that sin that I committed? He said, no, I forgot that. When we ask for forgiveness, he forgets it. We should be the same way with others and not holding it against them. It's not for sale. It can't be bought, and it can't be sold. And one that she didn't put in here, but money doesn't buy love. Wasn't that the Beatles? Can't buy you love? Money can't buy love. Look at how many people that have money that are not happy, that commit suicide, that do all these things because they think they have love, they have everything because they're rich, but they really don't have anything because they don't have relationships. They don't know who their true friends are. Who are the ones trying to get my money? who the ones really like me as a friend. You know, it's got to be a bad situation to be in, but all this stuff falls short of what true love is. It's more than staying with someone. Well, it is staying with someone even when they don't look as attractive as they did when you first got married. Because none of us stay that way, do we? We age finally, don't we? Your spirit grows. Your love should grow. Because it's not based on looks. It's not based on what you have. It's based on the other person, the deep commitment that you have with them. It outlasts one's looks. It sticks by somebody even when they're sick. It transcends health. It doesn't have an expiration date. Distance shouldn't make a difference, right? You can still love somebody when you're far away. It's not based on conditions or circumstances. It's not about a physical relationship. It's deeper than that, right? There is physical relationship a lot of times, husband and wives, but it's more than just that. What does real love look like? Well, the good thing is the Bible tells us. 1 John 4:10 says this is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. He loved us when we were incapable of loving him. Now think about that. Jesus, part of the Godhead, stepped out of heaven and willingly put on flesh to be like us. Can you imagine that? Being God and being everywhere and all present, and all of a sudden he decided to put on this little fleshly body and become kind of contained in some way and be able to feel pain and everything else that we feel so that he could sacrifice himself for you and I because he loved us. He knew why he was coming, didn't he? Seeking to save the lost. In order to save him, there had to be a sacrifice. This is what Martin Luther King Jr. says. Love is the greatest force in the universe. It's the heartbeat of the moral cosmos. He who loves is a participant in the being of God. We've lost some of this, especially the moral cosmos, the moral compass. Now it's do whatever you want to whoever you want, whenever you want, regardless of what they think about it, as long as you're happy. And that's where we get a lot of our problems, don't we? Because you don't think about somebody else, you're not courteous to somebody else. Well, they're not courteous to you then, and it just goes around and around. But love keeps the world and the whole universe in divine and perfect order. It's love that gives us life. John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus gave us an example of that as he laid on that cross. He was nailed to that cross, beaten and bloody. If you ever watch The Passion, you get a depiction of what that actually looked like. You know, we think, oh, Jesus on the cross, you know, it's so pretty. No. He's bloody and gory and beat and tired and the crown of thorns on his head and everything else, and they're gambling for his clothes on the ground. And he still has the capacity to say, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Right? That's a hard thing for me to imagine, but that's real love. John 6:38-40, he says, for I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall not lose any of those given to me, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up the last day. So Jesus was the ultimate version of love to come down for us to die. But if he just died, that would be it, wouldn't it? Wouldn't do anything. There had to be a resurrection, right? Look at how many other religious leaders have died, but none of them have been raised from the dead. None of them have been resurrected. So we need the death to pay for the sin and the resurrection to be the final triumphant call that we're all going to go to heaven someday. How many times have we said that God loves sin and hates the sinner? A lot of times, right? Heard a message this week that talked about that. And it says we're implying that no matter what people do, God loves them and they're going to heaven. Well, that's true in a sense. He loves everybody. He wants us all to go to heaven. But if we don't choose him, we're not going to heaven. People leave that part out. God loves everybody. You're all going to go to heaven. You know, he hates the sin. Yeah, he hates the sin. But if you're living in sin and reject him, you're not on his good list, are you? You're not somebody who's going to be saved because you haven't chosen him. You have to do something as well. You have to pick him. When Jesus is on the cross and took our sin, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Could it be that God looked away at that time and Jesus felt forsaken? He felt alone because he took on all the sin and God doesn't want sin in his presence. So maybe God, in my impression, kind of turned his head. And Jesus is like, where are you? But after he died, that was restored because that price had been paid. Remember the Old Testament, all the sacrifice had to be a blood sacrifice? You had to give a sheep or a cow or whatever, or a dove or a bird or whatever it could be, to keep sacrificing. His sacrifice is once and for all. He shed his blood for us one time. And once that was paid, that was restored. Relationship restored once that price was paid. The good thing is everybody has the same opportunity, don't they? We all have a chance to accept Christ or reject Christ. But those who reject Christ, they're not going to heaven. Doesn't matter how good they are, how nice they are, how much money they have. If you haven't accepted Christ in your life, you're not going to go to heaven. He's not going to say, well, I know you're a sinner, but it's okay, you're still going. He says, no, if you're a sinner, if you reject me and you don't accept me, you're not going to heaven. We don't want to say the hard part, do we? We all know people that have rejected Christ and still reject him. We say, well, they're a nice person. They're probably going to get in heaven. They're not going to do it. You know, they're not going to do it. It's a serious thing. We need to see it as that way. And how do I know that? Because it says in John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. John 3:3, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Clear verses. 1 John 3:8, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil's been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Revelation 21:8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in that lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Then Revelation 20:15. If anyone's name is not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Is there any gray area there? If you don't accept Christ, you're not going. You're going to hell, eternal lake of fire. That's where you're going. But a lot of times people want to preach the feel-good messages. You know, oh, we're all going to make it, da-da-da stuff. There's a consequence for sin. There's a payment that's been paid that you can accept, but if you don't accept it, then you're not going to make it. God loves you and he wants you to go to heaven, but you have to do something about it. You have to make that choice. You can't say, well, my parents are a Christian, so I'm okay. No, you all make that individual choice. Well, I went to church every Sunday, so I'm okay. No. If you never accepted Christ, you're not going to heaven. Well, I'm a really nice person. That's okay. Nice people are going to be in hell too because they haven't accepted Christ. You can go on and on and on, but if you willfully reject Christ, you're not going to heaven. The good thing is we have hope, don't we? Christ pursues us. He wants us to love him. He wants us to accept him. But I believe, and I think the Bible says, we can still say no because we have free will. We need to accept him ourselves. Our love for one another pales in comparison to the love of Jesus. But we can pray for the Holy Spirit to work in us so we can love others. You're probably not going to yell and scream somebody to Christ. You're going to love somebody to Christ. Right? When they've fallen down, when they're doing bad, when they're in trouble, and you keep loving that person, that's how you're going to get them to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit's going to have to convict them as well. I found an article that talks about, this is what love really looks like. Barbara said, soon after I began dating Matt, I told him that I had multiple sclerosis. It wasn't bad, I said, but I explained how the disease might affect me. Matt didn't care. If it gets so bad you can't walk anymore, I'll be your legs. And if you get to where you can't see, I'll be your eyes. And if you can't talk, I'll still know you love me because I know your heart. That's human love. That's close as we can get to God's love, right? Showing other people that kind of love. It's not based on physical. It's not based on emotional. It's based on a commitment because he knows what's going to happen to her. But he still chose to be with her, right? It's a purposeful choice. A desire to put that person first. It's a 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love. True love transcends distance and time. And here's one more little story. It says, Gene said, the moment I knew I was in love with my now husband was when I found myself calling him at work just to hear his voice. Now, 18 years later, I still find things to call him about just to hear his voice. It's kind of neat, isn't it? Makes me think, you know, do I ever call on God just to hear his voice? Or do I call him just because I want something? She's not calling to ask for something. She's just calling to talk. What kind of prayers do we pray? Do we pray, you know, thanks God for this. I love you today. Appreciate this. Or we call and say, God, I need this. I'm sorry about that. I can't stand this. I can't believe this happened. I'd be like, click. Sorry, dear, I'm busy. Somebody's coming. Right? You want to hear their voice. They want to hear your voice. Not always the asking voice, but sometimes just a thanking voice, sometimes just to hear them speak. And distance doesn't matter. For true love, time doesn't matter. There's couples that have been married, Russ and Kathy, 40 years, some 50, 60, maybe somebody's 70 years. I don't know if we have anybody that way, but could be. But the love for the Lord never expires. Doesn't matter how old we get. Our love should never expire. It should just grow deeper. Same with our relationships. Whether it's a brother or sister, or husband or wife or friend, that love should get deeper over the years as you get to know them better and better. But God's love is something pure and good and comes from the heart. A lot of passages talk about love. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 4. It says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. So what's the mark of a Christian? Love, right? You should have love, the love of God. Not a love that's looking for what it can get, but a love that's looking for what it can give. How can I help the other? What can I do for them? And I think we learn this our whole lives. I don't know if anybody's figured that out yet, but I'm still learning it at 35. I'm still learning. My mind says I'm young. I don't look at my driver's license. I can tell you what, after crawling around on the doing stuff in my car, the next day I'm like, I'm not as young as I used to be because I'm sore. But we have a love that's able to overcome all kinds of things because we've been born of God. And we have the Holy Spirit to help us and enable us and encourage us to love those who others may not love. My wife has all kinds of stories about people that she loved I'm not talking about loving love, I'm talking about friend love. She loved as people when she was in high school, where she would stand up for them, protect them on the bus. You can ask her about these stories. You know, she was a defender of people that didn't seem as privileged or got picked on. But love is not necessarily a natural thing. It's a supernatural thing. When you first have your first child, you know, your wife's like, oh, aren't they so adorable? And you're like, well, they're kind of purple and their head's kind of pointed. You know, but you do love them, and that love grows more and more. But love sometimes is not a natural thing for us. We learn how to love. We learn how to love even better. Especially if you've been in a relationship with your parents that they never taught you how to love, never expressed love, never said I love you, never hugged you. That's a hard thing to overcome because you don't know what it is. So as you grow, you learn and discover things. And then you may say, well, I don't want my kids to experience that. So I'm going to make sure they know that I love them, that I tell them I love them, that I do things with them and for them. But God's love is unlimited, unconditional, and complete. Not self-seeking, but other-centered. Next verse says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. How many people do we see that hate people today? Hate their race, hate their religion, right? Hate their football team. Hate the state they live in. Hate the car they drive. Hate the clothes they wear. Hate the stores they shop in because they're buying Walmart stuff instead of, you know, whatever the top brand is. You don't have this special phone. You don't have this special thing. You didn't say the right thing, so they hate you. And you're like, I never did anything to you. But you hate me because of those things. Because you came from wherever country, whatever it may be. And I think a lot of times people drive people to hate. Because hate a lot of times makes money. If you can keep the hate going, you can keep things going in if you're in that position. Political, whatever it may be. It's not a right thing to do. We should have been over a lot of these issues that we have a long time ago, I think. But I think there's people that stir those things up. And God doesn't want that. He wants us to agree sometimes to disagree. Right? You can agree to disagree. You think that, and I think this. That's fine. The thing we shouldn't agree on is that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. Everything else we can work out. Or we can say, well, I don't know, you can believe that, you can believe that, it's fine. But as long as you believe Jesus Christ is Lord, that's the place to start with. And don't worry about the other stuff. You like liver, I hate liver. So, okay, so I don't eat liver. You eat it all you want, right? Why should that be a point of contention? It shouldn't be. But a lot of times you make it that. I can't believe you made this. This is whatever. And you're like, okay, so go to McDonald's, right? I'm glad I wasn't a woman because I wouldn't have been very nice to my husband in those ways. He's like, I don't like this. Good, go make your own. God's very love is nature. His very being is love. His aim is love. If he lives inside of us, we should be love as well. Verse 9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his only son into the world that we might live through him. So God came down in a form of a baby named Jesus, and we talk about that at Christmas, don't we? But without the Lord, we're walking dead, aren't we? Without the Lord, look at people who don't have the Lord. There's no hope there. There's usually hate there. There's fear there. There's all those things that they have constantly, not just once in a while, but it's a constant thing. Is somebody going to do this? What about that? What if I do this? You don't have to have that kind of fear. But you know there's a way to heaven and forgiveness through him. Verse 11, dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one's ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. As far as I know, nobody here has personally seen God, have they? No. You can pray to him. We see God in each other, though. We should. Say, yeah, I think I see God in that. I think I see God in that. Bob Goff says, love does. Which means you can say you love somebody, but actions a lot of times speak louder than words. You can say you love them and then do nothing. You've heard that before, right? Well, I told you when we got married, I love you, and if I change my mind, I'll let you know. How does that work? Not very well. We say it all the time. Bye, I love you. Bye, I love you. When we leave the house, all those kinds of things, when our kids come, we still hug and all those things, you know. The last parts of the verse. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent his son to be our Savior. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment in this world if we are like Jesus. So if you accepted Christ and you're trying to live like him, you know you have confidence. I know what's going to happen in the end. I know he loves me no matter what people say, no matter what happens in my life. I know he loves me. I know what the end is going to be, and I know where I'm going to go. Verse 18, he says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. So you're not worrying about, oh, is my spouse doing this? I wonder if they're calling somebody. I wonder who they're texting. If it's true love, you shouldn't have to worry about that. If they love you and you love them truly. How many churches have we seen torn apart because people failed to follow the principle of loving one another? Sometimes we hate our own, don't we? Fellow believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, because we disagree on something, or I didn't like what they said. Right? I had a guy one time, I won't tell you where it was, but I did a message, and I read the wrong verse heading for the verse. He said to me, you're wrong, that was wrong. I'm like, oh, okay. He was mad at me, because I misquoted a verse. And I'm like, okay, I mean, what do you want me to do? Oh, here, I quote it for you right now. Are you happy? No. He was just mad because of that. I'm thinking, well, we're all human. We make mistakes. We say things sometimes we don't mean to say. Not on purpose. Some people believe if you don't get baptized a certain way, you're not going to heaven. Or if you don't get baptized, you're not going to heaven. There's all kinds of different things we talk about. We should be talking about, have you accepted Christ? Yes. Well, then you're going to heaven. Have you repented of your sins? Do you want to live for the Lord? That's what love is. God gave us the example of love. Even when we disagree, when you think about that time I mentioned before when he's on the cross and those people are yelling at him all kinds of stuff and he said, forgive them for they don't know what they do. That was true love exemplified. They beat him, right? They put him on a cross. They want him to be dead. And he still said, I still love you because you don't really know what you're doing. And sometimes God corrects us because he loves us, right? Correct them because you love them. When you have kids and sometimes you have to correct them, and one of my kids would say, no, Daddy, please don't thank me. Don't thank me. You know what thanking is, don't you? You had to thank them. Didn't do it very often, but sometimes we got thanked. And that was for their correction. It wasn't a thing you did all the time, but occasionally that kind of got the point across. The Board of Education on the seat of understanding. Right? And God corrects us sometimes. It's not pleasant. When we do things wrong, he'll bring it to our attention. You did that. That's why you feel guilty. It's called conviction because you shouldn't have done it. That's why you need to say sorry. I'm sorry about that. So you can hopefully not do it again. That's why our kids need to apologize to each other and do things wrong. And really mean it. Not just like, sorry. Like, nope, that's not going to work. Not until it's real and sincere, right? God doesn't want fake repentance from us. He wants real repentance. We're really sorry. We really didn't want to do it, and we don't want to do it again. But if we love the Lord with all our heart, our soul, our strength, and our mind, we have the ability to love others through him. And if we have issues with that, we need to ask him to help us to be the way that we should be, because we know someday he's coming back, isn't he? He's going to come back. Everyone's important according to God. He created all of us and loves us enough to offer salvation as a model of real love, but we have to accept it, right? Let's pray. Father, thanks for bringing us here this morning, Lord. Be with us. Help us to love one another. None of us here are perfect. None of us have perfect love, but we strive to have that. We want to be perfect in our love. We want to love others unconditionally. We want to love them to you. And we want them to love you as well. So help us, Lord, today and as we carry on to be more like you in your name. Amen.
Would you stand with me this morning? This is our response, isn't it? I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Would you sing that without the piano this morning? I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Soul rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I challenge you to go out and prove the love of God this week. Amen. Thank you.